Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'd like to see you try, though.
I'm going
to
need a life alert for having sex.
Wife alert.
Oh, what's up? Lamont's here.
Hey. Should we just hit the intro?
Yeah. We'll just go ahead and hit that bitch. What is up, you crazy son of bitches? It's Phil and Travis here from the GITM podcast.
Rebrand.
Yes, formerly known as the artist, formerly known as Ghost in the Night.
I mean, it still is. We just shortened it because we're lazy fat fucks.
Speak for yourself. I'm just fat. I'm not lazy.
I don't think we made it the 2 minutes before cussing.
Again. I don't care. What are they going to do?
I definitely it? Said fuck within 2 minutes. We put not for kids on this shit.
We do. We're not for children.
No, definitely not.
Even though we are children, but we're not for children.
Yeah. So, any laundry? Before we get into this?
No, I don't have anything.
I got a car.
Travis got a car. The podcast is doing so well. Travis got a car.
It's nicer than what it's very nice on the inside. I do have to get some things fixed.
And Tyler, what do you mean I use a chair lift? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not there yet.
And also, we live in a one-story house.
Right. Well,
a massive.
We have a basement.
A 684,000 square foot single-story house.
Yes. But I have nothing, though.
Also known as this is just a very cheaply made backdrop in the back of what the space that we rent in a Amazon packaging facility.
Right, yes.
And we don't even pay
the shitty Amazon.
We don't even pay monetary value. We just slave labor for Amazon like everybody else that works for Amazon.
Oh, shit. Gonzo's here. Nice.
The he's fucking still, green screen.
He still thinks it's a green screen.
God damn it.
Even though we can move shit. Watch. Hold on.
My Tech 9 bobblehead and my Snoop Dogg bobblehead.
If that was a green screen, I'm magic. I'm moving bricks.
Yeah. And yet again, the Bigfoot that I painted myself. So cute. And a Charmander that I made out of those melty bead things that are for children, but they're also very fun for adults.
Gonzo has that bobblehead.
Which one? The Tech 9 one? I have the other one, but he broke. I got to super glue them back together.
Super glue is a wonderful thing.
No, I know. I have some.
Even though I've always wanted to try that. You know, there's old commercials where the guy hanging from a beam, skyscraper beam with the super glue.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try that.
Well, now it's Flex Seal.
Flex Seal, yeah.
Flex Seal! Yeah, we know the Chiefs won again.
I was wondering how long it was going to take him.
Oh, my God. I had a really bad one joke the other night.
What?
I was texting a buddy of mine that you also know, and his broke too. Sweet. I was texting him, and I was gonna go and up there and hang out with him at the bar a little bit, but I had digestive issues and my stomach turned into a not very happy boy in like an hour period. I was the longest period of time I was off the toilet was when I was in the shower.
Here we go, we're talking about poop again.
It was when I was in the shower. But I texted him, I was like, back-to-back poops. And he was like, back-to-back, he said something, he was like, he asked a question, I can't remember what it was, but then I was like, no, like, back-to-back, like Tom Brady. And he was like, or P. Mahomes. I was like, my rebuttal to that was, or the World Trade Center. And then he just, in true Midwest fashion, texted back and said, oh. I looked at it, I was like, this is a good thing I didn't say that to the wrong person. I'm glad it was him. Some people would be like, oh, you can't, that's not funny, never forget.
Well, this, you know, it's funny. We're going to be covering this shit here. Tell everybody, before I get into that, what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about the Egyptian god of wisdom, Thoth.
Cool. Sweet. Sounds like an interesting podcast.
And before you go off into a tangent, this episode is going to be a little random because this very well, in my mind, is probably going to spark sending me down a rabbit hole of that could take up like 3 episodes. This is just the cusp of it. The condom that is this theory is on the tip of the wiener. And as we progress through this, these theories, it shall unravel and pleasure us with its ribs.
Ribbed for his pleasure?
Yeah.
Ribbed for Gonzo's pleasure.
Yeah. Right up, right down his alley.
Well, welcome, Jessica, Justin.
Look at us. We actually have people. Well, go figure. We need to fucking disappear more often.
Right.
Because we do better when we come back.
Right. But you know, speaking of 9/11, never forget, we are going to cover this in future episodes.
9/11, a tragedy. Well, a lot of people died. I'm not joking about that.
Not necessarily 9/11, which we will cover at some point, the conspiracy of it all.
The Bush
However,
did.
The forgetting part. I was a history major in college.
So you're a quitter.
I quit. I just couldn't do it.
Fuck
it.
He said, what does Jack Black say in School of Rock?
I don't know.
Those that can't something. What was fuck? He says it basically comes along with those that can't do teach. The caveat to that is history.
But
what does every sports coach in high school teach?
PE gym or history? Hence, that was my life goal.
Izzy in the chat just said something about the Emerald Tablets. I will touch on that a little bit, but again, that is why I preface this with this very well could spitball into multiple episodes, and I will probably unsuccessfully. I might clip this and put it on YouTube because that's how we can get most of our views. I will probably unsuccessfully attempt to reach out to Billy Carson and have a conversation with him because, although I might not find myself on the same thought process as him, the things that he has to say and that he theorizes on are incredibly interesting to me. And they're, if nothing else, entertaining to the mind.
But I will be covering a little bit of history and forgotten history.
She's having a fucking... Go ahead. Sorry.
How easy it is. We will cover in future episodes how easy it is to forget history.
We talked about this last week. Like, literally, I know 2 people who did not know what the Holocaust was, one of whom is of Jewish faith.
And it would not take long to, you know, an historical event to disappear from the minds of the civilization.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm going to cover next week. You know, a little, tease there.
That is a sprinkling of what we are going to kind of possibly talk about tonight.
Right, because honestly, I've never heard of Thoth.
You're about to.
I
got about 7 pages on this piece of shit.
And welcome to our new listener.
I don't think that's a new listener, technically.
Well, I don't.
New tonight.
No, I just subscribed it last night at the bar. Oh,
nice.
get an iPhone. Android, I can't work those things.
Nerd.
All right.
Like and share the video with your friends.
And don't forget one other thing before Travis gets vomiting at the mouth here.
Jesus saves, I withdraw.
For all the podcast listeners, don't forget to come over to the YouTube channel. It's still, the YouTube channel is still Ghost of the Night.
It is.
So, but that you can catch us. We always do these, we record these live, and that's hence why we're talking to people in the chat. So if you want to partake in, if you're brave enough to be in the chat.
Not because of us. It's mostly the assholes that populate the chat.
That listen to us. You know, you can interact with these crazy sorry mugs like Gonzo and Tyler.
The old GITN cult.
But we are not responsible here at GITN for the verbiage and language and topics in the chat.
Yeah.
So head on over to YouTube and subscribe to us.
And also, if you're on the YouTube, head on over to your favorite podcasting app and leave us a hopefully 5-star review.
But we did hit a milestone in listeners or subscribers on YouTube.
Did we?
We are at, we're obviously satanic.
We're at 666?
We're at 666, baby.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's all coming together. We were just outside and we were talking about the hillbillies are going to start coming out because the weather's getting nice because I heard Ozzy Osbourne playing down the street.
Followed by Queen.
Was it?
Yeah.
Fat Bottom Girls?
Oh, no. The most overplayed song ever.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes, thanks to Wayne's World.
It's either that or We Are the Champions. Even though Fat Bottom Girls is probably up there, too.
Yeah.
A song about fat bottom girls written by a gay Englishman with fucking horse teeth. What?
You know, that car was thumping, or we're having a fucking earthquake. Because you see my microphone bobbing?
I didn't.
All right.
Anyway.
It was. Go ahead and get this podcast started.
So tonight we're talking about Thoth. I'm not going to go into too much of this shit here, but I will say, in Egyptian, we'll get into the multitude of pronunciations and different names, but for all intents and purposes, in Egypt, it would be something along the lines of a Jehuti, which is a loose
Yeah, it sounds like a loose woman, actually.
Yeah. Jehudi. She's a Jehudi. That was not good. I could have done better there. Yeah. I'm just going to shut up now.
Thank you.
Silent podcast.
Oh, that would be fucking boring as fuck.
I've seen silent YouTube videos. They're hilarious.
That's worse than that whatever ASMR bullshit.
I don't know about ASMR, but I have been listening to like binaural beats and shit like that when I go to bed. I think you've probably heard them before.
I have. But you know what I used? I was doing there for a while before I got this third shift job when I was sleeping normal.
Fentanyl?
No, because I'm alive. Or am I?
Are any of us?
But I was
about to do, you dirty bitch.
Those humming, like, different frequencies.
Yeah.
I think I still have, I have the app on my phone, but I just put headphones on and it would play. You know, they say different frequencies, you know, for health, for
like brown noise and shit.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's why the binaural beats do that. Yeah. Like, they'll be like, oh, this one's 528 hertz. But anyway, the Egyptian name Jehuti, again, we'll get into the multitude of names, is a loose interpretation and translation could be, he is like the ibis or ibis, which is the physical representation that Thoth has. Like how Ra, you have Horus and Ra, like the hawk, the jackal, the heads of these animals. Mm-hmm. He was an ibis. One of those curved-billed birds.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, he's an Egyptian deity. And in art, he was often depicted as a man with the head of an ibis or a baboon, animals which were sacred to him. And his feminine counterpart was Sheshat. And
Ishat.
And his wife was Maat. He was the god of the moon, wisdom, knowledge, writing, hieroglyphs, science, magic, art, and judgment.
Oh, I like that. I'd be a great god of judgment.
He was basically, like, he did everything, apparently. He was like,
he was a busy son of a bitch.
He was like if you mixed Tim the Toolman Taylor and Bob Vila together. Just a great man with all the knowledge.
Okay, we'll go with that.
And a fast lawnmower.
Fast lawnmower.
I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to go back and rewatch. I have every episode. Now, excuse me. His chief temple was located in the city of Hermopolis, and the Egyptological pronunciation of which is Khemenu, or shortened to Khem for a lot of people, which they relate to the birth and the teaching of chemistry.
Oh.
By Thoth.
No shit.
Yes, right. And which, again, you know, little tidbits. This was later known as Es Ashmunin, I believe, in Egyptian Arabic. The Temple of Thoth was mostly destroyed before the beginning of the Christian era, and it is very large, I don't even know what that word is, but it was still standing in 1826, but was demolished and used as fill for the foundation of the sugar of a sugar factory in the mid-19th century.
Seems like a good use of the space.
Yeah, like just, you know, humans doing human shit.
Well, we're going to burn the Alexandrian Library with all the ancient. We're going to burn that. Yeah, we're going to turn this temple into
Nazis
sugar.
Are going to burn any book that has anything to do with Judy. Or even more recently.
Or we're going to be Hitler and take target practice at the Sphinx.
Even more recently, did you see there was videos of Arabic? I believe they were Arabic. People, I don't know how else to say it. I don't know where they were from, but they were literally just destroying relics.
Oh,
like the bulls and shit like that. Like they're thousands of years old. I'm like, cool, let's wipe more history off the planet, fuckos.
I believe that was ISIS's, as I like to say, big thing.
Zozo's cousin.
Isis.
Excuse me. So, he played many vital and prominent roles in Egyptian mythology, such as maintaining the universe and being one of the two deities, the other one being his wife, Maat, who stood on either side of Ra's solar bark.
Solar bark?
Yes.
What can I ask? Let me ask a question. What the fuck is solar
bark? You shut up and listen.
Okay.
It all comes together. In later history of ancient Egypt, Thoth became heavily associated with the arbitration of godly disputes, the art of magic, the system of writing, and the judgment of the dead. So he literally is kind of a coverall. He's the flex tape of Egyptian deities. But was he just Egyptian? We're going to keep going, and we will touch on that as well. Excuse me. He was also the Egyptian to the Egyptian, or I'm sorry, the
Egyptian to the Egyptian.
Sideways. This is why we stopped doing this, because I'm dumb. But he's also the husband to the Egyptian goddess of truth, balance, and justice, Maat, as we were talking about earlier, which is where the word math comes from, her name. And the word Jew comes from the Egyptian god Thoth/Jehuti, also known as Hermes when you get into Greek mythology, or Tahuti. There's so many pronunciations and all that
I'm
shit.
I'm so glad you're doing this episode.
Yes, now Jehuti, or Thoth, or Hermes, is sometimes alternatively rendered as Jehuti, Jehuti, Tahuti, Tehuti, Zehuti, Teku, Tek, or Tetu. Tek.
You're making that shit up, right?
Therefore, the word Jew is just derived from Jewity. Also, the word deity, which as we all know is like a term for a god, is also derived from the Egyptian god Jehuti/Tahuti. And all knowledge comes from Egypt, including religions like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm lost already.
Yeah.
What are you doing lately?
Now, the word Thought is also derived from the name Thoth. So this means that Thoth is the thinking process, the mind, or the architect of the universe, and the different techniques or methods acquired from thorough thoughts or thinking things out clearly. We call this branch of knowledge practical science.
Oh.
Since this knowledge is applied to different arts and crafts. Yeah. Thoughts are also energy and spirits, since we experience our feelings through our thoughts. We can experience either the spirit of love or the spirit of hate, depending on our thoughts.
I'd prefer the hate.
It's more fun.
Yeah, it's... I like it more. I get more out of it.
We'll come back.
And even to love that. Turns to hate eventually. So what the hell?
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Now
it's all fluid.
Oh yeah, I forgot about all this. Hey, look at that! I was in the wrong part entirely.
Now we are at the good part of your notes, I guess.
It'll be all right. We already covered his central temple in Hermopolis. He is associated with vital cosmic functions like upholding the universe and adjudicating divine disputes. Divine disputes. Not just the regular disputes of man.
So when, the gods are arguing, he plays negotiator.
Because allegedly, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, and I'll just have to remember not to talk about this later when I see it in my notes. Allegedly, Thoth is the son of Ea Enki, who was one of the original ancient Sumerian rulers.
Oh.
Who ruled for like 20,000 years. And also, he's also the ruler, of Atlantis. He was an original Atlantean.
Huh.
Who ruled for 16,000 years. Allegedly.
Well, I would hope it's allegedly.
Yes. This is all alleged. I cannot speak to its truth or not truth. Now, we talked about how his name is a derivative of thought, or thought is a derivative of his name. We talked about the Jew thing.
The Jew thing. Jesus Christ.
You like that? Yeah. Yeah.
You like Judaism? We talked about Judaism.
Yeah. Now, this is all interesting, I think. There is his connection to arts and sciences, we already talked a little bit, but acknowledgement of Thoth as the source of all knowledge reflecting in biblical references and cultural narratives.
Can you give me an example?
I will get to that.
Okay.
That is a whole nother section.
Foreshadowing people.
Now, this is interesting too. Teotihuacan and Thoth's legacy. Now, do I have this written down anywhere? I think I had a whole different section about Teotihuacan. Like I said, I already warned everybody, this one's kind of fucking ragtag, but there was just so much going on. I didn't. Shit. All right. Now, Teotihuacan is a Mesoamerican civilization in pre-Columbian South/possibly Central America, depending on where you draw the border lines, maybe.
Right.
We don't know. So sprinkle that in there. If we're talking about an Egyptian god of everything, whose roots may or may not lead back to and start in Teotihuacan in Central to South and South America.
Which kind of it gives credence to the concept that the ancient people, ancient civilizations, traveled and navigated the earth much more than what we give them credit for.
Well,
and didn't we talk about this? Or am I just, was I dreaming it? They found, what did they find in Australia? Wasn't it Egyptian hieroglyphs in caves or something to that?
Very well. Yeah. They have. Yeah. I mean, they also found Australo-Asian genealogy in tribal people in South America.
Right. So they traveled the seas much more than what we give them.
We would think.
Archaeologists and historians give the ancient people credit for.
Oh, yeah. I am going to go through this, even though it's not in my actual show notes. Now, this is, I found this website and it's like literally like their argument is like America is Egypt, or not like us right now, but Egypt basically was the landing point for something that was elsewhere. Okay. So I'd have to think of the website, but so Thoth created all arts, crafts, sciences, all knowledge, etc. And since all good things came from him, from Thoth, who is also the real God of the Bible, according to this thought process. And in quotations, it says, "I am the Lord, Thoth is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, which allegedly, translation aside, is in Isaiah 42:8 from the King James version of the Bible. Yeah. Now, Teotihuacan was Heliopolis and up from upper Memphis, not Memphis, Tennessee, but there's also, they also make the argument that Memphis, Tennessee.
Are we going to tie this into, is Elvis alive or dead?
They also try to say that Memphis, Tennessee was Memphis because there is a historical city of Memphis.
Oh.
But, so according to this thought process, Teotihuacan was Heliopolis and up from upper Memphis, Egypt, since Thoth the Atlantean priest king, is how he's described, founded Egypt and built the Great Pyramid after his home of Atlantis had sunk, according to the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. And Teotihuacan fits the description of Plato's sunken Atlantis perfectly, allegedly. I haven't had a chance to look at schematics on that. Now, this island called Enoch. Yes. And Memphis is the first city named in the Old Testament of the Bible. Again, allegedly. We're rabbit holing here. We know how I find things interesting. In addition, the Eye of Atlantis was also in Mexico near Teotihuacan, which gives credence to the fact that Thoth or Tehuti, or possibly Enoch, was from the Americas. This is a whole nother theory of this thing.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the Giza pyramids, which are aligned to Orion's belt, which you can also say is Osiris's belt, are not the only three pyramid alignment like it on Earth currently. You have the same three pyramids in Teotihuacan.
That are aligned,
yes,
to the belt of Orion. Okay.
Yes. The three pyramid alignment symbolizes the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, and the hypothalamus gland that are all in the human body. These are the master glands of the body. You have seven glands altogether that must be purified through detox and spiritual practices to resurrect the sleeping / dead mummy or Christ or Osiris that is in your king's chamber, which would be the tomb or the brain. The pineal gland is the king of all of the glands because it is in the seat. It is the seat of the soul, according to various mystics and philosophers. Now let's get into this.
Let's do it.
This potential biblical evidence of this thought process. So this is Matthew 6:22 and 6:23 of the King James Version of the Bible. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, referring to the third eye, aka the pineal gland, being open. Now Matthew 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Referring to the calcified pineal gland,
which
we go back to the fluoridated water.
Right, I was just gonna say that, right.
Yes. Fucking, we talked about crackpot conspiracy theories. Here we go. We're going down the fucking rabbit hole, boys.
Which makes it so freaking interesting that the calcification of the pineal gland, it's like the powers that be, whatever you want to call them, government, secret government.
The Illuminati.
The Illuminati, the elites, seem to push these things on us via food, water, fluoride in the water, that are trying to essentially calcify that, which is...
And close us off to what we could be connected to or able to.
Correct.
Do.
And if you follow this podcast for any time, I've talked about this. The pineal gland is your third eye, is the opening to the paranormal, essentially.
Or just another dimension.
Right. It is our way of connecting, I believe, with the spirit realm or whatever. Maybe these, we know how I feel about psychics or whatever. 99.9% of them are crackpots and just, you know, great at reading people.
Miss Cleo, R.I.P.
And my favorite.
We're sorry, R.I.P.
And what's my favorite? What's his name? My favorite one.
Chip Coffee?
Yeah, Chip.
Mr. I find, I at least try to find Chip Coffee entertaining.
I like his scarves. I wish I had his scarf collection.
Oh, dude, he has like a fucking, like, he has a Steven Tyler level collection. Oh, of scarves. Yes.
You throw some fedoras on there, he could be the lead singer of Aerosmith.
Yeah, and ungodly huge lips.
Yes. But maybe these people who have these extra gifts, which is one way of putting it, but they're not really gifts. We all have them. It's just they're. Pineal gland is open. And this, then you throw into the concept of remote viewing and seeing other realms, or seeing, being able to be in two places at one time. You know.
You motherfucker.
What the hell did you do? You just fucked our chat up.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, well. We're rolling without it.
I got it on my phone.
Yeah. Okay, fuck you.
Gregory's here.
Yeah. I was trying to react to something. Apparently, now we know. Don't do that on here. So, we have those two things, referring to the pineal gland being open and the pineal gland being calcified. And then in Genesis 32:30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved, referring to your pineal gland as being your own light or spark of God. Yeah. Crazy.
Which, you know, I've often, this has always been my issue with religion. If you take the Bible at face value.
Yes. Which a lot of people do.
Which, you know, even this, what we were talking about tonight, kind of puts it in my mind, there's more to the Bible than just, it's just not a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
You know, when things, how things are connected.
And I think the Bible as we know it could be more attuned to a collection of stories than what it originally probably was at one point.
Now,
or what it could have been had all things been taken into account when they collaborated on what made it into the Bible.
But if you take ancient times, and it seemed like God, whatever you, if it was Thoth or whatever, Yahshua or whatever the fuck you want to call him, whatever.
Well, Yeshua was Jesus.
Well, I did learn that the other day. I was watching something where Jesus was not his name.
Yeah, we'll get into that too.
Okay. How this Jesus came about, Jesus's name wasn't Jesus. But anyway. Why, it seemed like God...
Well, allegedly, the letter J was not a part of the alphabet at all until, like, 1524.
Which is pretty good. J is an overrated letter.
It would have been, I think, an I, which would be Yeshua.
It seemed like God was conversing with everybody.
With equal opportunity employer.
He was always talking to the ancient civilizations. He was always performing miracles. And it seems nowadays we got a deadbeat dad God.
Yeah, Joel Osteen just does all the work for him.
I just wonder if maybe this is because I'm going down the conspiracy rabbit hole.
It's fun, isn't it?
The satanic conspiracy rabbit
Ooh,
hole.
And how many what subscribers do we have?
666. Dong, dong, dong.
Oh, shit.
What
boys.
If the elites, the Illuminati, per se, or whatever they are, are purposely calcifying our pineal gland just for the fact of that is our connection with God, to the creator, whatever you want to call
something further and him, greater than us.
That this is all part of the plan. This is how Satan or whatever that entity is.
Call it whatever you want. Beelzebub.
That is his or her, its purpose to way of separating us from the creator.
But what you're saying is we're being blinded. Our third eye is being blinded while our two physical eyes remain open.
Correct.
And so how are we, so we can't even know that there's something afoot.
But that would make sense. If you take the Bible at face value, God was always, you know, talking to us
through bushes,
burning bushes, or, you know, just in general. We're telling people to build fucking boats, giving Moses the commandments, giving Noah a heads up on a little bit of a rainstorm.
The younger Dryas.
Now,
I want to do a whole
episode. You don't hear any. You do not hear anything about. I shouldn't say never, but the whole miracle. I don't think the Red Sea's parted here lately in the past couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is because we've lost society today by probably design has
no blocked, connection
blocked our connection
to the universe, if you will.
Right.
Now, side note on this whole thing for this whole theory that Egypt originated in Mesoamerica or the Americas. The Plumbeous Ibis, a.k.a. the Blue Ibis, which is Tahuti's symbol, is from the Americas. And according to this theory and these people, since the Americas is Atlantis, it's a seapost image of Blue Ibis. In fact, all of the gods of ancient Egypt come from the Americas. Again, this is a whole nother thought process. And also, while we're on the subject, we cannot guarantee that the Blue Ibis is the representation of Jehuti or Thoth, because there were, up until like 1850, there was a species of Egyptian ibis. So very well could have just been an Egyptian ibis, or there's also a white ibis. There's multiple ibises.
Is that correct?
Yes. So I don't know about all that, guys. But also, another theory on this whole Egypt is America is Egypt thing is the ancient Egyptian god Horus is from the Americas as well, according to them, because you can clearly see that Horus is patterned after the aplomado falcon, which is native to the Americas. Whatever we're talking about. Why? Because that's what the hieroglyphs look like. Bitch, they're like 5,000 years old. I'm sure there's probably just a chip. So I don't know about all that. It's fun to talk about, but I don't know about all that. Also, the ancient Egyptian city of Luxor was in Las Vegas, a.k.a. the City of Lights. Now, what's interesting on top of that, sprinkle this in there. Las Vegas built the Luxor Hotel.
I know. I was going to stay there when I went to Vegas.
The Luxor has a Sphinx and a pyramid on the property.
Well, the hotel is a pyramid.
Yeah. Yes.
I did not know it had a Sphinx, though.
So. Yes.
I know it had Chris Angel.
Yeah, unfortunately. Luxor means light, and from space, Las Vegas looks like just a big ball of light. I do find that one kind of interesting. I think it's just happenstantial, for real. Like, realistically, that's not that far of a stretch for them to make those design choices based on the name.
Right.
I don't find that to be...
proof of anything?
No, I really don't. So... again, we go back to just touch on the whole Teotihuacan thing, the similarities between the pyramids between both places, possible cultural diffusion of Egyptian lore into the Americas. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Some metaphysical symbolism, interpretations of pyramid alignments representing the human body's master glands. Again, this is from a whole nother source, particularly focused on the pineal gland. Boom. Already talked about that. The biblical references emphasizing the pineal gland. Boom. Already talked about that. Now we can talk about some American influence on Egyptian deities here. Hypotheses proposing origins of ancient Egyptian deities in the Americas illustrated by symbolic resemblances like Horus to the aplomado falcon. Multiple sources of information here coming together. This is not, I did not pull this from the same place that I pulled what the same thing we were just saying.
You did your due diligence.
I did. And then they talk about the Luxor. Fact
checked yourself.
They talk about the Luxor too. Now, in conclusion, it's not really a conclusion yet. Thoth's enduring legacy spans mythology, language, and cultural diffusion, reflecting the intricate interplay between ancient civilizations and their beliefs. Exploration of Thoth's influence invites deeper contemplation into the interconnectedness of human history and spiritual traditions. Oh, and also he's Anunnaki.
This is deep.
Allegedly. Allegedly, him and his father, Enki, were also Anunnaki. Which, if you don't know, without going down this rabbit hole too far, the Anunnaki were not a human race. They were from another place, and they came down here, and they started to spread knowledge and technology and stuff like that.
Well, let's be honest.
They were just fucking octopuses.
They were slaves. They were slave owners. They made us to be slaves.
Everybody
to
was.
To mine gold so they could put it in their atmosphere, which is why gold is so important to us today.
Well, and again, the Anunnaki were just clearly just octopuses, because if there's aliens on this planet, it's fucking octopuses.
Oh, absolutely.
Cephalopods, if you will. This is pretty cool. Have you ever seen a Dumbo octopus?
No.
Pretty cool. Or a vampire octopus? There's some cool octopuses out there. There's some dope pusses out there.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know.
Top tier puss.
Top tier puss. Jesus. I never seen any, but I hear it's out there. Now, it's like Bigfoot.
Little sidebar before we get into all this. The connection between Jesus and Thoth is a subject of exploration within alternative historical and spiritual interpretations. While there are no direct historical or textual references linking the two figures, some individuals, including researchers like Billy Carson.
Okay.
I'm going to reach out to this man. I don't think I'll get to him, but I fucking would love to talk to him.
If he was smart, he wouldn't take a call from us.
No, he would not. Have drawn parallels and connections based on symbolic, mythological, and esoteric interpretations. Now, here are some of the perspectives on how Jesus and Thoth are sometimes connected. Come with me. On the magic school bus. Archetypal figures. Both Jesus and Thoth are viewed as archetypal figures representing wisdom, enlightenment, and divine knowledge in their respective traditions. Some interpretations suggest that they share similar roles as spiritual teachers who impart profound teachings aimed at guiding humanity towards higher consciousness and spiritual awakening. True. Two. Teachings and miracles.
Miracles.
Miracle whip. The tangy zip.
Nasty as shit.
I used to love it when I was a kid.
I hate, man. And Miracle whip. White and creamy. I don't like it.
I know. You're so homophobic.
I am.
Now, parallels have been drawn between certain things and miracles attributed to Jesus in Christian scripture and those attributed to Thoth in ancient Egyptian mythology. Both figures are associated with acts of healing, wisdom teaching, and transformative spiritual experiences, leading some to speculate on possible cultural influences on universal principles underlying these narratives. Yeah. Very nice. Next spot, resurrection and ascension. The themes of resurrection and ascension feature prominently in the stories of Jesus' life, death, and subsequent return, as well as in esoteric interpretations of Thoth's mythology.
So we crucified him too?
Some interpretations suggest that these themes symbolize spiritual rebirth, transcendence, and the attainment of higher states of consciousness beyond physical existence. But, and here's another thing. I don't know how far I got into this as far as text-wise, but, and this is coming from Billy Carson too, and this is one of the ones that, like, I kind of rabbit-holed on myself on, and I stand by it. Jesus kind of disappeared around the preteen to teenage era of his life.
There's no, a big swath of his life is the dark years where we don't know a lot about him.
Where did he go? The theory.
I got horned around, man.
The theory is he went to India. He went to like places like Tibet to learn all of these traditional healing and Reiki, stuff like that. And then where did he end up? Egypt. Potentially with Thoth. Or potentially he was Thoth.
This is one of those things where a lot, and I've always said this about Jesus, you know, maybe he was a collection of different people, but what if that's not the case, what if all these different people or historical figures from different religions was the same person? They just given him a different name. You know what I'm saying?
Which is very more possible than probably most people think.
Right.
shit. Okay, I got that part. I was looking for something. I just totally lost myself. There we go. Found it. Found it.
Found it.
All right. So there's that. Okay. Cosmic Principles and Universal Truths.
Ooh.
Chapter 4. Jesus and Thoth are sometimes seen as embodiments of cosmic principles. Did I already read this? No, I don't think I did. Cosmic principles and universal truths that transcend cultural and religious boundaries. And some interpretations explore the idea that their teachings and stories reflect deeper metaphysical concepts related to the nature and the nature of reality, the human soul, and the interconnectedness of all things. I think I did read this already.
Well, it's worth going over again.
Fuck it. Now, it's essential to recognize that these connections between Jesus and Thoth are speculative and often rooted in alternative interpretations of religious and mythological texts. While they can offer intriguing insights into comparative spirituality and the evolution of human consciousness, they remain subject to individual interpretation and belief, as do most things.
As does everything.
Nothing is fucking written in stone, unless you're the Egyptians.
Unless the Ten Commandments.
Or the Emerald.
Oh.
Ha! I got it.
Oh, fuck me sideways.
See, we help each other here. He's old. I'm not. I pick stuff up. Now, Thoth, the ancient Egyptian deity, is known by various names and titles across different cultures and traditions. Now, here are some of the alternative names for Thoth from around the world. I told you we'd get into this. Jehudi. This is one of the primary Egyptian names for Thoth, often used in hieroglyphic inscriptions and texts.
I like that name, Jehudi.
Tehuti. A little more modern interpretation, if you will. Hermes Trismegistus.
Is that a dinosaur?
Right? Or fucking trichophobia, the where you're afraid of holes?
Well, I'm really afraid of holes.
Yeah, your ankle is, at least.
Yes.
Now, this one is Greco-Egyptian syncretism, and Thoth was equated with Hermes, resulting in the composite figure Hermes Trismegistus, known for his wisdom and teachings in Hermeticism.
I like it.
Yeah. Tahuti, just another modern interpretation and variant. Just straight up Hermes in Greek mythology, aka the messenger of the gods.
Right.
Mercury in Roman mythology.
Wasn't Mercury the god of war?
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't dive that far into the names. I'm not going to lie. Nebo in Babylonian mythology, who she's also shared similar attributes of wisdom and writing. Nabu, another variant of the Babylonian name. Ningishida in Sumerian mythology, who he thought was sometimes associated with this deity, who is also known and associated with knowledge, healing, and fertility. Quetzalcoatl in Mesoamerican mythology, particularly among the Aztecs, and there are parallels between both Thoth and Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent deity associated with wisdom and knowledge. Which I found interesting because an ibis has a curved, long curved beak, a long, not a super long, but a long neck, feathered serpent deity from Mesoamerica.
Yeah, I find it very interesting that Christianity is really seems to be one of the only religions, I might be wrong about this, that looks at serpents as
negative
or evil, to mm-hmm. where most of the ancient looks at serpent type creatures as for knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of weird.
A snake in the grass type thing. Especially, I saw another thing that was talking about when you consider that almost all things, including us, with a skeletal structure, for the most part, what is the human or a dog or a monkey or a bat, anything like that, what does the spinal column of almost any species resemble?
A serpent.
Yeah. So the devil's in us all.
You heard it here first, kids.
Suck a dick, Joel Osteen. There's nothing against religion. That's just something against that fucking beak-nosed piece of shit. I hate it.
God wants him to have a fucking multiple jet, okay?
Yeah, like that old man that got offended when somebody asked him about his private jet, and he told him that God doesn't want him flying with all these devils around him. Yeah. Like, eat a dick, you old fuck. Go do more cocaine off of one of Jeffrey Epstein's fucking concubines. Piece of shit.
Oh, speaking of that, real quick tangent.
I got hot. I got real hot real quick.
I was on TikTok or Instagram Reels today, and it, you know, we talked about Epstein and Thomas Jefferson the other day, or last week. It had a picture of a $20 bill and Epstein together. Dude. I was like,
circled like the scar on his forehead and shit. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's the same motherfucker. Now, again, let me digress and say that I'm not trying to shit on religion, but televangelists can blow me.
That is, that's my problem with religion is televangelists. You know, I think the message is outstanding. I think there's something to it. Whether it's 100% accurate, I don't know. We'll find all that out when we go to the pearly gates.
Well, and Billy Carson and I agree on something as well, on top of all this other shit, is like, he said, I saw him talking about a video, he was like, he believes that Jesus was a real person. I would not be surprised if he was. The person, at least. And for the most part, he preached some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
If all that was true about that human being, pretty good guy.
Very good.
But look what people did. They go, oh, hey, I want to make a mega church and make millions of dollars, but it's for the Lord.
The Lord wants you to make me rich.
The Lord needs a new Rolls Royce Phantom, honey. And it needs to be written off on my taxes, because praise him, I will ride in my Rolls Royce to spread the word and the love of Jeebus Christmas. Like, fuck you.
Well, all I know is we need one more subscriber, because I want to get off this satanic subscriber number.
I think it's fucking sick. We should just lock subscriptions for the rest of time. Now, we don't need that part. This is another part which we talked about, or that I will talk about, that also came from, I don't know if I believe it, but it's interesting. It came from Billy Carson as well. Allegedly, the name Jesus as we know it didn't technically exist until the year 1524, because the letter J did not exist until that time and would have been pronounced more like an I, meaning that it would be more like Jesus, something along those lines, which according to Billy Carson, and I don't know how factual this is because I don't speak fucking Greek, is Greek for Hail Zeus, meaning that the name Jesus is just a reinterpretation of Hail Zeus as the original God or Savior,
Makes somewhat sense, actually.
This would mean that Zeus was not only a real person, but he would also be a member of the ancient Sumerian civilizations. But back to Thoth. Thoth was also said to be a priest king in Atlantis, again, who ruled for 16,000 years and was credited as a designer and architect of the ancient pyramids in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which predates the Bible, yet there are shared texts in both the books as we know it. There are things in the Book of the Dead that are allegedly, I have not read the Book of the Dead, but they are allegedly almost verbatim also repeated in the Bible later on.
I mean, that goes to show there is something to all of this.
Yeah.
When things pop up in many different manuscripts or different stories passed down, there is something to all of it.
Yeah, which also makes you question, it makes the question arise in my mind, is all of this stuff interconnected because what we know is not true and this is more true, or goes, what we do know goes further and deeper than we ever knew? Or is this just another scathing indictment about the recycling of everything like we do anyway? And just the regurgitation of the same information over and over again that just changes a little bit to suit the masses.
And changes some names here and there.
Yeah.
I mean,
to suit the audience that you're
preaching to.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to that. I can't argue against it, really. Either that or there's just a lot of plagiarism going on.
Well, yeah. Food for thought. Now, we touch a little bit here on the Emerald Tablets. Have you ever heard of the Emerald Tablets?
Vaguely. I'm ignorant when it comes to them.
Oh.
I'm assuming they're green.
Yes.
Okay.
Is this, or are they? Because they don't physically exist as we
know. Were they written by the wizard?
They were written by the Sumerians.
The oh, they weren't written by the wizard behind the curtain?
No.
Dorothy?
Well, he might have been.
Was there a yellow
brick? They were written by Christopher Walken.
There wasn't a yellow brick road leading to the Emerald City where the Emerald Tablets were?
Oh, no. Could you imagine a book written by Christopher Walken? If they wrote it so that you had to read it the way he would speak it?
Oh, God.
Like, one sentence would take a chapter. It would just be like three words per. It'd be like, halfway down the page, when I was a child, bottom of the page, I stole a bike. Next page. And then you have a 687,000 page book that's only like 12,000 words. So anyway,
he's a treasure.
Yeah, goddamn right he is.
He's in
a new Dune movie. Apparently Dune 2 is like the best cast ever put together and like a perfect film.
I haven't seen Dune 1.
Neither have I. I won't watch it
because the original Dune.
Well, apparently the Dune that came out a couple years ago is also phenomenal. I haven't watched it either.
I will say this. The Christopher Walken Super Bowl commercial was the best one.
Anything with Christopher Walken is fucking phenomenal.
It's amazing.
I told you the story about Dave Grohl when he was on, when Foo Fighters was the musical guest.
Oh, yeah.
He said, is the accent on the Foo Fighters? The Fighters. He said he went out there. He said, ladies and gentlemen, the Foo Fighters. And fucking Dave Grohl does a way better Christopher Walken than me. But we digress. Now, the Emerald Tablets are a collection of ancient esoteric texts that are attributed to Hermes Trismegistus. I'm probably butchering that. We know that.
But we don't care.
But I'm not fucking Greek. Give me a break. Somebody call Stavros Halkias and have him tell me how to fucking pronounce this shit. You don't know? Put feta cheese on it. That's how you pronounce it. Fuck you. Did you know they have beef with Albanians? Like, apparently, like, how a lot of, like, hardcore Republican people don't like Mexican people.
Okay.
Like, apparently Albanians are, like, the Mexicans of Greece.
Huh. Not aware of this.
I didn't know that until I started listening to Stavros Halkias.
Huh.
Who's hilarious. I love that dude. Now, excuse me. Again, attributed to the Emerald Tablets, attributed to Hermes Trismegistus, a legendary figure in Western esotericism who is often associated with the Egyptian deity Thoth. And these tablets are said to contain profound teachings on alchemy, spiritual wisdom, and the nature of reality. Now, it is important to note that the authenticity and origins of the Emerald Tablets are highly debated among scholars, and many consider them to be a product of medieval or Renaissance-era occultism rather than genuine ancient writings. Because, as far as we know, the public, they do not physically exist or are not physically in anybody's possession.
They're not in a museum somewhere.
No. If somebody has them, we do not know where they are, as far as I know.
They are theoretical.
Yes, but the transcriptions of them are out there. Like, you can apparently read what they said.
Huh.
I don't know. It's odd. Now, the contents of the Emerald Triangle.
The Triad.
Isn't that what they call fucking those three counties up in California where people get fucking kidnapped and killed over weed farms and shit?
Probably.
Anyway, fuck. The contents of the Emerald Tablets vary depending on different translations and interpretations, but they generally cover themes such as Hermetic Principles. 1. The tablets purportedly outline the fundamental principles of Hermeticism, an ancient philosophical and mystical tradition attributed to Hermes Trismegistus, and these principles include concepts like, quote, as above, so below, in the principle of correspondence, which suggests that there is harmony and correspondence between the macrocosm or the universe and the microcosm, which is the individual.
We are all one and the same.
Yes.
Okay.
We're all made of stardust. 2, alchemy. Alchemy the ancient practice of transforming base metals into gold and achieving spiritual enlightenment is a central theme in the Emerald Tablets, and the texts discuss the alchemical process as a metaphor for spiritual transformation and the attainment of enlightenment. Full Metal Alchemist. Good show. 3, cosmology and metaphysics.
Ooh.
Who are you? Oh, some fucking junk email. Eat my balls. You shut your mouth. Cosmology and metaphysics. The tablets delve into cosmological and metaphysical topics, including the nature of the universe, the soul's journey, and the interplay of physical and spiritual realms. They explore concepts like, quote, the one thing, the source of all creation, and the role of consciousness in shaping reality.
Hmm.
So basically, if the Emerald Tablets are in someone's physical possession, they need to fucking come public with them, because we need to, I want to read them.
Well, which that is very, you know, what is that? Think about it. That's
why do we not know?
Your thoughts go out into the universe.
And how will we ever know with our calcified pineal glands?
That is true. Maybe, because they're all, there is that concept of what, I forget, I'm drawing a blank. Manifestation.
Mm.
You manifest your reality. You manifest things you want. Mm. What if the pineal gland, the calcification of that, is not only, that is our connection with, like we, I said earlier, God,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, the great creator, whatever you want to call it.
Them. They.
But when, with everything that we ingest that has calcified that, that has limited our ability to manifest our own manifestation, doesn't work because it doesn't go. It blocked our transmitter.
Mm.
Our pineal gland is now a spectrum cable box.
Mm.
Or it's like the McDonald's ice cream machine.
Or let's put it, let me think of it a different way. You're positing, if you will, that the human brain and the human mind and soul and humanity as a whole is the World Wide Web. And we have been restricted down to the internet of North Korea. There is more out there. We just cannot see it or find it.
I would say, if in that analogy, our brain, our soul, whatever, and I'm not 100% convinced our soul is inside of us. It might be our brain is the router or the receiver of our soul. So I would use our brain as the IP address.
Mm.
You know, you understand?
Yeah.
We are
the source,
but we are connected to the universe being the World Wide Web, or in my case, the dark web. But our brain or there's a meat suit that we are inhabiting is the IP address. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
thought provoking.
Yes.
Truly.
We go deep. We go down deep.
Truly pontificating to the masses.
Yes. That's what we do on Sunday nights.
Next, universal wisdom. Throughout the tablets, Hermes Trismegistus imparts universal wisdom and guidance for spiritual seekers. These teachings emphasize the importance of self-awareness, inner alchemy, and the pursuit of higher knowledge.
Well, I'm self-aware.
So pretty much all the stuff that they tried to, that modern whatever doesn't want you to do.
Right. You know, if you think about society today, does not want you to be a critical thinker.
Mm-mm.
They want you to be a sheep.
Yeah.
And just do what you're told. So,
and that's why when I start spouting off shit, like not just specifically this, but I'll start spouting off shit like this, and people are like, you're crazy, man. I'm like, am I fucking crazy, or are you just fucking boring and dumb?
Harumph.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor a harumph.
It's what?
But, you know, society today is being told, just don't think critically. Don't do what you're told.
Be a cog.
Follow get in line and just let us take care of it all. They don't want critical thinking. They don't want people thinking outside the box. They don't even want people thinking for themselves. And a perfect example of that is, you know, with the whole COVID situation for the past 4 years,
Yeah. They
said, trust the science. But what is science? Science is meant to be questioned.
Yeah. But God forbid you question science.
Exactly. Don't question science. But that is the principle. That is the main principle of science. You are always questioning it. That's how you get new science.
Well, and that's why the perfect example, or I don't want to say example, but like to reemphasize and back that up, I've been listening to the Wild Times podcast. It's Forrest Galante, one of the producers of one of or multiple of the shows that Forrest Galante is a part of over the course of his career, and another guy. And Forrest Galante being a wildlife biologist who is out there, like, he's the guy that's like really obsessed with the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger.
Okay.
Like, yeah. That thing's like on the top of his list of, I'm going to go find it. He's found extinct species. Well,
didn't they think that came to, wasn't the last picture one in America that?
Well, no, what it was, I think we talked about it was, a ship was bringing some over to like the Brooklyn Zoo or something like that, and it crashed, and they never found mating pair of thylacine.
Right. Okay.
And my whole thing when we brought that up was like, what came up within a reasonable amount of time of that? Sightings of chupacabra down south.
That's right. That's right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But he said, I've heard him say multiple times, like, as a wildlife scientist, as a biologist, he wants to go against the grain, and he wants to find extinct animals, and he wants to prove things wrong and da da da. But he even admits, like, God forbid that you test science.
Or you test science and don't have the credentials to.
Hell hath no fury like a science scorned. It will not be. They just won't allow it.
Right.
Unless he, like everybody's like, no, the thylacine's extinct. Until the day that he walks up with a thylacine, like, firmly fucking death gripped onto his arm. And he's like, it hurts. Here it is. It won't be. And that's just a broad example. But, like, it's the same thing of, like, we talk about Göbekli Tepe and all these fucking ancient civilizations. That they're like, no, 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 that can't be. But it physically fucking is.
Well, that's, you know, we are going to touch a lot onto that next week. I'll go ahead and tell the people who are listening. Tartaria, the Tartarian Empire. There is, heaven forbid you question anthropology. We know for
archaeology.
We know for a fact human civilization was in the Americas, North America, much longer than what they said it was. They're
in South America for
they
that
have
matter.
Done had excavations in the American Southwest proving that, and also going back to Egypt to hear what we're talking about. We've talked about this on this podcast. The Sphinx is much older than even the pyramids. There is evidence of water erosion. It was actually started when Egypt was fertile, was not a desert.
Yeah.
For thousands of years.
Yeah.
So history is wrong. We have gotten history wrong. Now, whether that's just because we're ignorant and we're not willing to look at the new data and make adjustments, because heaven forbid we have to change a fucking history book.
Yeah.
Or it's what we're going to talk about next week, actively hidden. Well, we didn't know.
Which is what I think it is.
Right.
I think that there's an underlying effort to hide facts from us.
Now, whether that's being done for evil purposes, to keep us in the dark, or just because we're lazy, we don't want to be proven wrong.
Well, which very often, as sad as it is to say, because I try not to shit on religion in terms of for the populace. For me, they don't work for me. I can't align with any of them wholly, so I do not. And I do have my things that I have personally to say about them. Everybody's entitled to their own feelings and their own dedication, if you will, to something. Mm-hmm. But that shit oftentimes can be directly related to religion.
Right.
You know, the Crusades. How much knowledge, how much script, how much art, how much just population of people in general to pass down what they know from their place of life were wiped off the fucking face of the earth due to the Catholic Church literally going out to try to completely eradicate other thought processes and theistic belief systems.
Right. If you're not against it or with us, you're against
it. That is literally what the Crusades were. Like, their whole purpose of the Crusades was to just fucking kill off other potential theisms, if you will. And with that is going to come the eradication of knowledge and the eradication of arts, the eradication of history.
It, like we're going to talk about next week, it doesn't take that long to write something out of history. Even in today's society, with the advent of the internet, we could still do it just for a mere fact of if you don't know to question it, or if you're not, like, for instance, we were talking about the Holocaust. In 25 years, if we just, if academia quits talking about the Holocaust, 25, 30, 40 years from now,
it will basically not have happened.
Sure, it's still on the internet, but if you don't know to go look for it, you're not going to look for it.
And then that's how you theoretically and systematically eradicate something from
the history of humanity. Even if it's somewhere on the internet, but let's be honest, a search engine, as we have proven over the past 4 years, they can fuck with that shit.
And they will.
They can hide it.
And they will.
You know, so it's not that hard of a concept to think that things have been written out of history. Like, I believe, who was it? Lamont said in the chat, the winners write the history, even if the losers were right. Mm. Winners write the history. You know, World War II history is based off, don't take this as I'm saying what people think I'm going to say, but, you know, the one thing about, like, World War II, we wrote the history, us and the British. Basically, all of our knowledge basically now comes from their perspective. And it's also been told, you know, we went to war, or the European went to war, because of the Holocaust. Mm. That's not necessarily true. The American soldiers and the soldiers didn't really understand. They were just, when they went into the concentration camps, they were shocked. Mm. At what they saw. They didn't necessarily know that's what that was going on.
Right.
It wasn't because they thought, we didn't go into this because we thought Hitler was evil. Hitler was just getting to raging war in Europe and taking over land. And he was doing the Holocaust as he was doing it, but it wasn't necessarily common knowledge.
Well, if you think about it, he was bucking the system.
Right.
And he did so effectively that he got...
But there is probably
almost all of the leaders of any major type of political or physical power in the region behind him.
Right.
He got Russia for a while, at least. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of had Russia on his side there for a little bit. They're smart enough not to, though.
Right.
He had Mussolini, one of the bigger powers in that.
Wasn't the area. Spain king, too?
I believe Spain. Ended up getting Japan, the predominant military power of the eastern part of Asia at the time.
They fucked around and found out.
Yeah, a little fafo, if you will. But I say all the time, and it's not because I'm a Japanese American, you got to have some big old balls to pull off some of the shit that they've done over the history from being from an island the size of, like, fucking California.
No shit. I will say that. Think about how the Japanese Empire and even Great Britain, think about, they're not that big.
Nah. But a hub of religious power.
Right.
Italy, Mussolini. Sure. And then what happened? You don't hear about you don't really hear about shit from Italy anymore from a military standpoint since World War II. But you hear about the Vatican, even though I mean the Vatican's in Italy, but it's not, because it's own independent sovereign state.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other one I want to get into. I want to try to maybe reach out to another guy who, like, he specializes in dark countries, I think is what they are, or ghost countries or phantom countries. Yeah. Countries that aren't recognized by all of the EU or wherever they are, but they are their own places. It's crazy. I listened to a whole interview with this guy. It was so fucking interesting. But, yeah, that's how this shit goes, sadly. And a lot of times it can be attributed to some type of religious power push.
Right.
Like I said, I keep referencing Billy Carson because some of this my interest to dive down through this came from him. Hmm. He alleges if it wasn't for the Crusades, we would have been on the moon in the 1800s.
Well, we were. Hitler was on the moon. He's got moon bases right now.
And then you get into the whole thing of like there's a formation on Mars that looks very similar to the face of a carved deity in somewhere in South America.
We're talking about the man on the face on Mars. I thought they debunked that.
I don't know.
They said the shadows.
It very well could be, but it's interesting to look at.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, there's some weird shit on the Mars and the moon.
Well, let's get back to the end of this here shit show that I've dove myself into for some ungodly reason. Oh shit, literally the end. Now, with all this, it's worth noting that the interpretations of the Emerald Triangles are in motherfucker, man. The interpretations of the Emerald Tablets vary widely, and some modern scholars and practitioners view this as allegorical or symbolic rather than literal. Usually the case, personal opinion on how most things should be taken.
Well, it's kind of like the Bible. Yeah. I've always said, is it a history book or is it, you know, kind of just stories to prove a point?
Yeah.
But I will say this, what we've learned in this what you've taught us in this episode, the cross-contamination of some of this stuff makes, kind of puts it in my mind, maybe the Bible is more of a history book than originally I thought. Just for the mere fact. Now, I will always have an issue with the Bible because of the editing that was done by the church.
The selectivism of the Bible itself.
Right. Because you can make anything seem like anything just by editing.
Yeah.
It's just like facts. You can make numbers say whatever you want them to say.
Mm-hmm.
But with the crossover between what some of this Thoth stuff and the Bible makes, you know, it gives me hope that maybe the Bible is more of a, there's definitely some truth to it, to some historical fact to it, which gives me hope.
Yeah. Well, let's finish this up.
Yeah, I gotta go to work.
Now, the texts have inspired numerous occult and esoteric traditions throughout history and continue to be studied and interpreted by spiritual seekers and scholars alike. However, their true origins and authorship remain shrouded in mystery and speculation. This is just a little interesting tidbit that I threw in here right at the end. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And Thoth also refers to himself as the Son of Atlantis or the Son of Man multiple times. Shut up. Here we go. Jesus said in John 14:20, I go away and come again unto you. Tell no one the Son of Man be risen again. Thoth said, for surely I shall come again. Betray not my secrets. Because there's this underlying speculation that Thoth was Jesus. Or Jesus was Thoth. Or Thoth is God. And not only Thoth being God or Jesus, he is all or most of the recognized gods across the world. Again, all the way down to being potentially being, it's be it, I've heard it said that he was even the first emperor of China. Again, Quetzalcoatl, I think like Vishnu or some, one of the Hindu gods, like this laundry list of gods that may or may not theoretically or potentially have been Thoth himself, including Jesus.
Fascinating stuff.
I will end with this. Before I finish the my notes, you were talking about the death of knowledge and the selectivism of holy texts and religions in general. But you have the internet and we have all this stuff. And although I do not buy into deities and I do not buy into religion personally, real or not, as a human being or as a physical presence on this planet or in this universe ever before, is Thoth not currently doing his job as a deity? Are we not sitting here thousands of years after he may or may not have existed, talking about him and talking about the things that he put out into the world / universe?
Very true. Never thought of it like that.
Yeah. Does that mean that they were real? Any of these things? No. Does that mean that our religious deities and teachings, well, one, a lot of religious teachings are just fucking morals,
right,
in general,
which is not a bad thing.
Are all of these things, and can they be attributed to the Tulpa effect before we even knew that that was a thing? Because we're literally sitting here talking about Thoth, the god of wisdom. And we're sitting here brainstorming thoughts and talking about stuff that we may or may not have known before tonight.
Oh, in my reality, Thoth just exists, just came into existence. I never knew of him before. So he did not exist in my reality.
Yeah.
But now he exists in my reality.
Yeah.
Is that a Tulpa?
And as the god of wisdom, we are his job is now being manifested through me finding out about him and us spitballing our
right.
little dumbasses sitting here in our chairs talking about this stuff and rolling it into other shit. So therefore, physically real or not, Thoth's job is once again being completed.
That is true.
And I didn't even have that thought coming into this thing. I just slapped that all together in the last 10 minutes of doing all this.
That's deep. I like it.
I don't get deep very often.
I never get deep.
Especially if it's physical.
I mean, 3 inches only goes so far.
About 3 inches.
About 3 inches.
3 1/4 if you get a running head start.
You know, here I will say this about, I know there will be probably a few comments on this live stream later on from somebody or some morons that will trash us about religion.
I would just like to point out also, I just had this idea and I'm going to say it out loud, not to cut you off, because I have to put it out there so we remember it. That's a clip.
That is.
That synopsis has got to be clipped and put on TikTok and shit.
We will do that. I don't see the problem. There will people that will probably comment on this live stream, like I said.
There always is.
And will be in a negative way about, because basically some of the topics that we just conversed about could be considered blasphemy, which If you look at the term blasphemy, no, it's not. But that's beside the point. That's a topic for another day. Mm. If you look at the actual term of what blasphemy is.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem with looking at Thoth, Jesus, God. We don't fucking know.
Critically? Maybe, as opposed to blindly?
Maybe Thoth was God, is God. We don't, it's not taking away from the King James Version or the Bible or whatever Bible.
Mm.
It's not taking away saying, okay, maybe Thoth from an even older religion is God. That, is that, a, that in my mind, that's not a bad thing.
Mm.
And we know the Bible and religion, especially Christianity, has played with names a lot.
Mm.
We know Lucifer, the name Lucifer for Satan is Latin, and Latin, when the Bible was written, originally written, Latin didn't, or yeah, Latin didn't even exist.
Sure about that?
Yeah. Before Hebrew. Latin didn't come around until later on.
Mm.
When at the in the writing of the Old Testament.
Mm.
Latin was not a language.
Well, yeah. It's like we said earlier, like we didn't really touch on it much, but like Jesus's name almost irrefutably was not Jesus.
Right.
It was Yeshua or Yeshua, which is now Joshua.
So I don't understand what the big deal is, but people will lose their ever loving mind comparing or saying that Thoth could be God.
It's because
who knows?
It's because how dare us as mere mortal men to say anything that in any way, shape, or form contradicts or possibly shakes up the thought process or the idea of the masses.
Right. It's not that deep. It's not that big of a deal. I don't think God would be offended by saying this. If he is, he needs to lighten the fuck up a little bit.
I agree.
Or come to me and tell me, no, that's not how it works.
I agree, because if we were not meant to have this critical thought process and ability to do these things and venture out and grab for straws, and that's blasphemy and that's against God if God is real, he did a really bad job of making his children.
Right.
Because we have far too much capability to do just that with anything at all times.
What was he the god of?
Wisdom. No. Wisdom, learning, art, adjudication of both the dead and godly dispute.
Sounds a lot
like everything.
Sounds a lot like God's job title too.
He was the overseer of like fucking all things alchemy. Like, it just depends on what you read or what you look up.
So Thoth just is another different name for the same thing that appears in the Bible.
He's the Swiss Army knife of gods,
right? Which in this deity, in Christianity, it's a one God system.
Mm. Monotheism,
correct. Sounds to me like Thoth could be just somebody else's term for God.
Yeah, and it makes like the non-monotheistic thought processes make more sense to me anyway.
Right.
It's like, why would there not be more than one thing? No one thing, no one person, no one being is, personal opinion, ever going to be the proper way to run or rule anything.
Well, but also, you can also look at it like this. One being, this is going to sound horrible, it could all be one and just like a company. Think of it like a company.
Mm-hmm.
Say GE or whatever, big company, corporate, Apple. It's one entity, but it has different branches. It has the iPhone. It has Apple Podcasts. It has, you know, different, that they're not different entities. It's all one entity.
Mm.
But we can look at it and say, well, Apple phones are one thing. iPods are one thing. MacBooks are one thing. It's all the same.
Well, because, I mean, it's kind of hard to wrap the human mind around one thing like the one ring to rule them all, if you will. Like, it's much easier to break down if you're like, from our standpoint with the way our brains works, to be like, yes, this is Big Boss, but then Big Boss can do all these things, but has all these underlings, these God is to Jesus, or there's, you know, Vishnu, Krishna, whatever. It's easier to think that way.
Right.
I don't know.
Bottom line, it's a very complex topic, and we don't have, nobody has the answers. Nobody walking this planet, or flat earth, whatever you want, whatever we're living on,
This plane
of existence knows, has 100% proof of anything.
No man, woman, them, they, or other knows shit at the end of the day, is basically what we're saying.
And I've said this a million times. We will find out. I will find out before you, hopefully.
Right. When you're dead.
The day you die, that's when you'll find out that all questions will be answered.
Watch, we're going to die, and there's going to be some dude with a fucking bird head. He's going to be like, what's up, bitch? Heard you were talking about me.
Yeah, I heard you that Sunday talking shit, motherfucker.
I'm going to peck your eyes out.
All right. Are we done?
I think so. Let's just leave them with that enigmatic thought process.
All right. We
melt thine brains.
All right. We thank everybody in the chat, everybody that checked out this live stream over on our YouTube channel. Thank you guys for coming. If you like what we have to say, or you just find this mildly entertaining, be sure to give us a like. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app, and also check those out too, to bump those numbers up.
Socials, stuff like that. Yeah. TikTok. I got to start putting stuff on TikTok again. I don't think I've put anything on TikTok in like 6 months.
Probably not. I haven't made any shorts for you in a long time.
It's been at least like Halloween time.
But we will be back next week. I will be covering Hidden History. We will be talking.
So we're kind of spitballing, or this is kind of snowballing.
Yeah, this is, I mean, they're all connected.
Mm.
So we will be talking the Tartarian Empire. Did it exist? Or did it not exist? Or did some version of it exist?
Is that where the sauce came from?
Which I don't like. Tartar sauce sucks.
I'm not a fan either.
Not a big fan of it. Even though, what's weird about it, what was on a Big Boy?
Tartar sauce.
I could eat a Big Boy. Mm. But I put a tartar sauce.
See, I can too.
Like, you put tartar sauce on a fish sandwich, like at McDonald's, mm, I will gag and throw up.
I'd rather have cocktail sauce.
No. All right.
It's grown-up ketchup.
It is. That's what we're going to talk about next week. So join us. I don't know whether it be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. We will give everybody a heads up.
Next week on
But we will be back for 3 weeks. We'll be back 3 weeks in a row. So like I said, like, subscribe, all that shit. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.
Blah, 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 blah. Bye.